Nice to see those. My name's there this afternoon. Thanks very much for coming. If you have your Bibles, so the theme, I suppose you've got two chapters you could turn to on the basis of those hymns. Psalm 23 might be a good guess, but I'm going to go to John 10. John 10, yes. Definitely. John 10. And Joy got that one right there. I could see Joy. I could maybe just step down here, Joy, let you go. John chapter 10. And yes, so there's two great, the theme of the shepherd runs right the way through the Bible, as many of you know, of course, but two great big chapters, I suppose, that would be the chapters par excellence that we think of concerning the shepherd in the Old Testament, Psalm 23, and in the New, John chapter 10. And interestingly, of course, both of those chapters have to do with exactly the same shepherd. You say, well, just a minute, that can't work, because Psalm 23 was written 1,000 years before John 10, but they actually deal with exactly the same person, and that is the person that we know as the Lord Jesus. Now, we're not going to read all of John chapter 10, but maybe just a few verses, if we could. First of all, at the beginning, John chapter 10 and verse number 1, which says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow." Verse 10, "The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Or another translation would say, "I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it in all of its fullness," and everything that life could possibly be. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep." And down to verse 28, John 10, 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Let's just ask for God's help again, shall we? Let's ask for his blessing. Our Father, we do come into thy presence again this afternoon. We give thanks for the word of God. We thank thee, Father, for the wonderful themes in this great book. We thank our Father of the great theme of the Lamb, one who would offer himself and shed his blood for us. And we give thanks, our Father, for this great theme of the shepherd, one, our Father, who seeks and who saves, one, our Father, who cares. And we give thanks, our Father, that we find that shepherd uniquely in the person of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for who he is. We thank thee, our Father, for what he did. And we thank thee, our Father, for whom he did his mighty work at the cross of Calvary. We pray, Father, for thy help this afternoon as we think on these great words of the Lord Jesus. And we do pray, Father, for that help in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing of all of us, our Father, as we would just meditate for a little while on the living word of God. Give us help, Father, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So the key verse that I have in mind is John chapter 10, verse number 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And if you have been coming along on a Sunday afternoon, then you perhaps know that I've been trying to pick out some verses in the Bible that I would regard, and over the years folks have regarded them as great gospel verses. That is, verses that in many ways encapsulate in a nutshell the key message of the Bible. It's a difficult book, I'll give you that. It's a big book, I'll give you that. In fact, there's 66 books. But there are some verses that really, more than other verses, I think just encapsulate really what it means, or what God's message actually means. Now, John 10, 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." I would put in that group of great gospel verses that tell us so much about who God is. Now, this verse is maybe a little bit different from some of the other verses that we've thought about on the Sunday evening, because this one doesn't really come so much with a challenge. You might remember some of those other verses that challenge us to do something. For example, John 3:16, that God loved the world so much that whosoever believes in him need not perish. And it leaves us with something to do, some kind of a challenge. Or Romans 10:9, that if we can confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, it leaves us with something to do, something we have to do, a step we have to take. Well, John 10:11 is not quite like that. It's a little bit different, but not that much different, because John chapter 10, verse number 11, really starts with the Lord Jesus. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with the Lord Jesus and it ends with the Lord Jesus. And in fact, it's just full of the Lord Jesus. And I would suggest that if we grasp the truth of what John 10:11 is really speaking about, it leaves us with this great message of the gospel. And it leaves us, in fact, as well with a challenge. It presents the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd. Three little things I wanted just to share with you from this interesting little verse, verse 11 of John 10. We want to think, first of all, about who he is. Who he is. I am the good shepherd. Secondly, what he did, the good shepherd giveth his life. And thirdly, who he did it for the sheep. So who he is, what he did, and who he did it for, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Now you notice right at the beginning of John chapter 10 and verse number 11, we have this wonderful character of the Lord Jesus. In fact, if you were to go again through John's gospel, John's big on this. He takes these simple little titles the Lord Jesus Christ uses, and he describes the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of them. Sometimes we refer to them as the I am sayings, and this is one of these great I am sayings. I am the good shepherd. And he presents himself not only as a person, but in fact in this little verse here, he really presents himself as God. Because that title I am is a title you'll find way back in the book of Exodus, as Moses encounters God for the first time, so far as I can see anyway. He encounters God for the first time, and he really wants to know who it is he's encountered. He's heard a lot about God, you see, in Egypt. He's heard that God's perhaps a cat, maybe a crocodile, or some kind of monster. And here's a voice speaking intelligently to Moses that seems to know about Moses, and he wants to know more about who that God is. And so God introduces himself as I am. It's a great title of God. He's the one who always is. By the way, that makes great sense here in John 10:11. Because if I was to go back to one of our favourite hymns, one that we sang earlier on, the all about the shepherd, the Lord's my shepherd. And you would hear David wrote that song. And they wrote it in the Psalms. And they wrote it 1,000 years ago. Before John 10. He wrote it 1,000 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. You say, well, how could you write a hymn about the Lord Jesus 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus? Because he's I am. He's the eternal God. He's always been there. And the same Jesus that we encounter here in John chapter 10 is the same Lord Jesus that David wrote about in the Psalms. As he wrote about his crucifixion in Psalm 22, as he wrote about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 16, and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus later on in the Psalms, all about the Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the good shepherd, the good shepherd. Now, you may wonder, well, what's that all about? He's a shepherd. I don't need a shepherd. I'm not a sheep. Well, you are, you know. And he's a shepherd, of course, because part of the character of humanity is a sheep-like character. And if you were to go way back again into the Old Testament, Isaiah would shed some light on this one for us. And he describes the character, the tendency of the human heart to go the wrong way. All we like sheep have gone astray. He, maybe from experience, eh? Because remember, he's a Jew and he knows the law. And one thing that you know if you know the law is you know that people are very good at breaking laws and not keeping laws, and doing what they want to do rather than what God tells them to do. And so part of the character of the human heart is a tendency to get lost and to go our own way. Now, you see, it might be possible just to let people get on with it, but we have a God whose character is that of a shepherd. He's a God who cares. He's a God who has compassion. He is a God who has love. He's a God who comes to seek and to save that which is lost, because we're lost. He comes to seek those that have wandered away in the wrong direction, off into danger. That tendency to self-destruct, that it was a farmer that told me not that long ago that the only thing that a sheep is good at doing is dying. It seems to know 100 different ways to die. You probably know that if you drive about the roads in New Cumnock. Doesn't seem to matter how many fences there are. There's sheep out, and they seem to be just ready to be hit and to self-destruct. And such is the character of the human soul. We tend to wander away. We tend to be oblivious to the danger. And here is the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's come to seek, and he's come to save that which is lost. Now, not only do we have who he is here at the beginning of verse number 11, but most importantly, what he did. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, there's a big question that John chapter 10 begins with, which is so important. And maybe a question that we have to ask ourselves, and I'm sure you've asked it of yourself too over the years, that with so much out there, so many people claiming to be God, and so many people claiming to point to God, and so many different religions, how do we know the right one? How can we actually find the right one? How can we find somebody that's worthy of our trust? And somebody who can deliver upon his promises. It's one thing to promise you heaven. It's quite another thing to deliver on it. And there's a lot of people who promise you heaven. It's one thing to give you some set of good precepts and ideas and say, look, here's something to live by. You go onto your Facebook or any of these things, full of nonsense, of course, most of the time. But people making money out of their nonsense, trying to sell you ways to live your life, and ways to get rich, and ways to self-improve. One thing to promise it, quite another to deliver on it. How do we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take us where he promises to take us? And so at the beginning of John chapter 10, we've really got the identity, the way that we can identify the real Mackay, the real shepherd. And in John chapter number 10, it says there in verse 2, he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, the doorman opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Listen, says the Lord Jesus, you recognise the shepherd because he comes directly through the door. You recognise the shepherd because he doesn't come by any devious means or roundabout routes, but he comes directly through that door to your heart. And in John chapter number 10, you'll find the significance of that door. There's only one shepherd can get through that door. And the reason for that is that door is so difficult to go through. That door is such a difficult, trying experience to go through. Because that door to get to your heart is a door that will go by Calvary. It's a door of tremendous cost. And in John chapter 10 and verse number 11, he's the good shepherd. There's his character. His character is backed up by what he does. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You can trust him because he's taken everything that he has, his life, and he's presented it on the altar to God. He's taken his most precious thing, his blood and his body, and he's given it on the cross of Calvary. He hasn't come by any devious means, any roundabout means, or any easy means. He hasn't come just giving you a set of rules, regulations, or some good ideas. He's come and he's been crucified. He's been tortured. He's been put to death. And he's done that in the fulfillment of the Old Testament of the Bible. So you can go back into the Old Testament and you can say, well, this door by which a saviour would come, what does that door look like? I really want to know, because I want to know who the real saviour is. And you could go back into David's wonderful Psalms, just next to that one in which he speaks about the good shepherd. You would read about the cross of the Lord Jesus. You would read about someone who would have his hands and his feet pierced. Someone who would die exposed, dehydrated, mocked and rejected. You could go through those Psalms and you would read about someone that would be sold and betrayed. You would read about someone who would suffer and sink into deep despair and suffering for sin. And you could go through those Psalms and you would read about someone who would do something utterly unique. Psalm 16, he would not only die, but he would come out the other side of death and resurrection. You could go through the book of Isaiah and you read about someone who would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as he was led to that place of the slaughter, he would do something utterly unique. He would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. And you could put together an identity kit of what that Saviour would look like. You could fill in what he would be like. This one that would come by the door would be one that would be holy, he would be pure, without spot. He would be one who would be God's perfect servant. He would be one that would be born of a virgin, said Isaiah. He would be one that would be realised in some way as being God with us. He would be the one that would perform miracles. He would be the one that would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. He's the one that would be betrayed by Judas. He's the one that would die at the cross of Calvary. He would come the hardest way. There was nothing devious or dubious about him. Nothing underhanded about him. This would cost him everything. And it would cost him everything for your soul. That's why he's the good shepherd. Not just a shepherd, but he's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd because he gives his life for the sheep. We stayed on a farm not that long ago. Well, I suppose it was a few years ago now. There was quite a few dead sheep lying about that farm, I remember. I suppose I would be more or less a townie in those days. I don't know where I am now, somewhere in between. But I had to tell the shepherd about his dead sheep. I don't think he kent about his dead sheep. Didn't they quite seem to fall into this category of the good shepherd, who not only knew about his sheep, but gave his life for the sheep. There was that absolute, complete commitment and self-sacrifice for you and for me. I am the good shepherd, who he is. What he did, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep and who he did it for. And I suppose, you know, in a sense, therein comes the challenge of this wonderful verse, John chapter 10 and verse number 11, that he gave his life, he purchased salvation, he paid the price for my sins at the cross of Calvary for his sheep. And there is a kind of a question here. It's not stated, but there is a kind of a question, and it comes in later on, as the Lord Jesus Christ would speak about his sheep. If you were to go down to that little verse down there, verse 26 actually, John 10, 26. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. See, there's the shepherd. And there's the work that he's done. And there he's calling his sheep. And if you hear his voice and you come to the shepherd and you believe, verse 26 of John 26, John chapter 10, verse 26, if you believe, you receive. You receive this gift of eternal life. Say, am I one of his sheep? Am I one of his sheep? You're one of his sheep if you hear his voice. You're one of his sheep if you respond to that voice. You're one of his sheep if you receive the gift of eternal life from this good shepherd. You're one of his sheep if you come into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm one of his sheep because I'm following him. He's my shepherd. I'm one of his sheep because I heard him speak. He called me. He called me. That might not be an audible voice, of course, but it's that sense that God himself has touched our heart. John 10 verse 3 opens with that picture, doesn't it? To him the door or the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Something very personal, just between you and God. Something very personal, perhaps as you open the word of God, maybe just yourself, and you see that there is something in those wonderful verses of scripture that aren't just true about everything and anybody, but they're specifically true about me. Sometimes in the preaching of the word of God, there is something said that is so personal to me, and God speaks to me, and I hear his voice. And he draws me not to a system or to church or to place, but he draws me to a person, to the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And I get a glimpse that, yeah, there's a hymn about a good shepherd, but you know what? He's my shepherd. And you know, there is something in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that is unmistakably different from everybody else. For here's the one that all of the Old Testament of the Bible was written about. Here's the one that died, who gave absolutely everything he had that he might have me. He gave up everything he possessed that he might possess me. I can trust him because I mean something to him. I'm precious to him. I've been bought, purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. I am the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This shepherd, of course, is a shepherd who not only saves for now, but he saves forever. Saves forever. He gives not only life in all of its fullness, that's John 10 and 10 that we read, that they might have it, have life in all of its fullness more abundantly, but he gives life eternally. And so as we come in faith to the person of the Lord Jesus, as we get a glimpse of who he is, as we get a glimpse of his cross, as we get a glimpse of the truth that here's a Saviour who purchased me by his blood, as we get a glimpse of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ for my sin, as we see that we meant so much to him that he gave himself for us, we see not only one that is able to save us now, but one that is able to save us forever by faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we do just come into thy presence this afternoon. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for so many wonderful pictures and descriptions of the Lord Jesus in thy word. We remember, our Father, that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We remember, our Father, that we have the one who is the eternal Son of God in all of his power. And we thank thee, our Father, that we have one who is the shepherd, the good shepherd. We thank thee, our Father, that there is something unmistakably different about the Lord Jesus. We think, our Father, of those that perhaps would seek to teach and seek to guide and seek to point, but we've got a Saviour, our Father, in the Lord Jesus, one who saves forever all that come to him by faith, one, our Father, who saves by the power of his own shed blood. And we give thanks, our Father, that we can rest in him, we can trust in him. We thank thee, our Father, that he came by the most difficult route, that he came, our Father, directly. He came, our Father, in fulfilment of those promises and prophecies of the Old Testament, that said that the one that would save would be one that would die, one that would be crucified, one that would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And we thank thee, our Father, that even with the cost, that he came and that he died for us at the cross of Calvary. We pray, our Father, that thou would bless the word of God to our hearts this afternoon. We thank thee, our Father, for the truth of the word of God. We pray that thou would bless it to each of us. And we do pray, our Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up to each of our gaze, and we ask our Father that we might know him and trust him.